Thank you, choir, for the beautiful music on this Sabbath day. I'm reading this morning from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. So then a Sabbath rest still remains for the people of God. For those who enter God's rest also cease from their labors as God did from His. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one may fall through such disobedience as theirs. A newspaper in Bosnia reported that a thief took a nap while he was burglarizing a home. The owner found him sound asleep on his couch. Eden, age 21, managed to snatch two bracelets and one earring before he said, and he confessed this to the police, "Before I saw the couch and I decided to just rest for a while." And then he fell asleep. Talk about a stupid criminal. Do you think he was overly tired? I'm curious, how many of you today are tired? You know yawning's contagious, right? Somebody at last service said after I did that, they yawned five times. We'll see. Ruth Haley Barton, who wrote the book Sacred Rhythms, proposes that there is a continuum of tiredness. Now, I took that continuum of tiredness and I converted it to a gas gauge. So if you look at this gauge of tiredness, you will notice on the far right-hand side, on the full side of that gauge, it says refreshed and replenished. That's when we're full, we're well rested. And then in the middle, at the middle is good tired or healthy tired. And then on the left-hand side, the empty part of that gauge, it says dangerously tired. Now, the good tired or healthy tired at the top is when we finish a job in which we feel the job was fulfilling. Yes, we had to do a lot of work and effort, but we know that with a good night's rest, that tiredness will be gone by the next day. And so we'll be fine. For example, this past week, I worked on my irrigation system in my front yard. And you're probably thinking, this is the wrong time of year to work in your front yard. And you would be right. But I found out recently that irrigation tubing generally lasts only about 8 years. Mine has lasted about 15. But now it's coming apart. How did I find out about this? Well, one day I had a break in the irrigation tubing, so of course I dug a hole and I fixed it. Only the next week to have another leak to the right. So I dug that one up and I fixed it. Couple weeks later, guess what? Another break. And then I realized I was going to have to replace all of it, and I couldn't wait till September or October, not if I wanted my plants to live and to have a reasonable Arizona water bill. So I worked on it this week. I replaced a pretty good section, and I have to tell you, in the heat, I was exhausted, tired. But it was a good tired. It was a healthy tired. And I knew that once I got a good night's rest, I would be just fine. But some of us are dangerously tired. Dangerous tired is more than just physical tiredness. It has to do with being emotionally drained. I see a yawn. It has to do with being spiritually drained and psychologically drained and relationally drained. And we can come to think of dangerously tired as being normal. There is also a dissatisfaction with our lives. We might be uncomfortable in even acknowledging that there is a dissatisfaction with our lives. So we keep busy and we try to ignore it. But there's this underlying restlessness, a sense of being a victim in our own lives, that things are not quite right. I think of the story of prisoners over the years in a prison, in which their prison guard has said to them, "I want you to dig a hole right here. It's to be 6 foot deep." So they dig and they dig and they dig, and it's hard work, and finally they get down to 6 feet and they are done. And the guard says, "Great job. Now I want you to fill in the hole." And then shovelful by shovelful, they fill in the hole until it's full. And then you know what the guard says next, right? "I want you to dig that hole." And it goes on and on and on. And that sort of work is useless, unfulfilling, meaningless. It has no purpose. We might have even gotten to the place in our life in which we feel emotionally numb. We don't want to feel anger or disappointment or frustration in our life anymore. And so instead we cut ourselves off from our feelings. Now, you can't cut yourself off selectively from some of your feelings and not others. So what happens is you also no longer feel joy or happiness or passion. Instead, you live a flatline life that's just empty. That's what it's like to be dangerously tired. Now, frankly, if you look at that gauge, you will also notice that we move on the gauge of tiredness regularly. We move back and forth all the time on the right side because we do work, we get tired, we rest, and then we get refreshed. The trouble is if we end up on the left side of the gauge when we're less than half full and we begin to get more and more towards the dangerous tired. And what we need to do really is to look for a gas station, to look for a way to be refilled. Now, I want you to take a look at that gauge and think about where you are on that gauge. Now, you don't need to share it with anybody this morning, but just think for a moment, where are you on that gauge right now? The point is, if you're on the left side of the gauge, not to blame yourself, not to feel guilt, but to just know where you are. Because I'm here to give you hope this morning and tell you there are ways to recover. There are ways to recover from being dangerously tired. You can come back from that. You can be replenished and re-energized and refilled. And God has given us a way to do so. God has given us the gift of the Sabbath. The practice of the Sabbath is essential to the Christian lifestyle. It is the core of what it means to be a Christian. It is that fueling station, if you will. What does a baby need in the middle of the day? Okay, you guys have not been parents, I guess, for a long time. What does a baby need during the middle of the day? A nap. There you go. What happens if that baby doesn't get a nap? Hey, the choir's with me now. All righty. Yes, they get irritated. They get out of sorts. And if they still don't get a nap, then they become really unmanageable. And then they refuse to go to sleep altogether. So one job of the parent is to notice when the baby needs a nap and to encourage that baby to take a nap even though the child doesn't want to take that nap. You know, sometimes you and I are like tired children. We don't want to take that nap. We don't want to rest. But God, the Father, the parent, knows we need to rest. even though sometimes we don't know how to stop. We get caught up in a lifestyle that is filled with great plans of all the things we're going to do. We begin to think that we're indispensable. We're going to work 24/7. I have to tell you, that's my weakness. I have a tendency to think, well, if I stay up just a little later, I'll get a little bit more done. I'm very task-oriented, want to get things done. But there are limits to this body, emotional, physical, spiritual limits. We learn that we can't be all things to all people, but some of us have to learn that the hard way. Sundays, and I know in some ways I'm preaching to the wrong crowd right here, but Sundays become a day to get more work done. Now, I have to say, you're here, so obviously you're thinking a little differently. But for some, it's another day of work. Do you remember the Energizer Bunny? Do you remember the Energizer Bunny's slogan? Just keeps going and going and going and going. Well, I hate to burst your battery, but those batteries are still going to die. And we're not the Energizer Bunny. We need rest. Even God rested. It says that in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, the idea of the Sabbath predates the Ten Commandments. It was a concept already happening. Jews celebrated the Sabbath from sundown on Friday night to sundown Saturday night. And most Christians now celebrate Sabbath on Sunday in honor of the fact that Jesus was resurrected on a Sunday. Now, I know the Sabbath raises some questions, and you're probably thinking of them right now. Can my Sabbath be another day? Can I have a floating Sabbath throughout the week? It just kind of changes from week to week. Does the Sabbath have to be a full day? Can I shop or mow on the Sabbath? How do I know what I should do and shouldn't do on the Sabbath? Well, let's start with this. I think you need to pick one day a week to celebrate the Sabbath. And for most of us, that day is going to be on Sunday. Yet I also know there are a few of us who have to work on Sunday. Anybody have to work on Sunday? I have to work on Sunday. You notice that? I hope you're noticing I have to work on Sunday. I get up at 5:30 on Sunday. I take a shower. I then practice the message twice verbally before I come to the 8 o'clock service. And then I preach the message three times. And by the time I'm done at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and go home, guess what? I am exhausted. I am good tired or a healthy tired. But my gauge is at the halfway point. And all I do is go home and just crash. So Sunday for me is not a good Sabbath day. I'm working. So I've chosen over the years to make Friday my Sabbath. Friday is the day. It's not a perfect day. I mean, sometimes I get wedding rehearsals or something else that happens on a Friday, but it's a better day for me. And it just works. So you have to pick a day, and I recommend you pick a regular day, a day every week that's the same day, because you need to establish a rhythm. You need to have work, and you need to have rest. You can't just have one without the other. Your life just can't be a lot of rest, no work. But neither can your life be all work and no rest. You need that rhythm. Our body is designed that way. And I have to tell you now, my body knows when Friday's coming. It does. It's programmed in. It is just a rhythm. And on Thursday, I can't wait for Friday. Friday's a great day. Now, I know some of you are airline pilots. Some of you work in the medical field. You have to work on Sunday, and then you have to work with what you have. Your schedule is not your own. So then maybe you have a floating Sabbath day that's on the day in which you're off. But I find a rhythm is much more effective for your body. Now, you can celebrate the Sabbath anywhere. The Sabbath should also include the community. The Sabbath doesn't need to be lived in isolation. The Sabbath is to be lived out with your family and with your friends. And sometimes Beth and I will go and eat dinner with some of our friends on a Friday. It's recharging. Now, there is one thing we should not do on our Sabbath, and that's work. But I know the next question some of you are thinking, well, Fred, what's work? I mean, can I go mow my lawn? Hey, we're in Arizona. Can you go rake your rock? Can I go shop? You know, for some people, mowing their yard is work, but for some other people, going out and gardening is refreshing and revitalizing. So the question really is, what is this act, whatever you're going to do for you? Does it drain you or does it replenish you? If it drains you, don't do it. But if it revitalizes you and renews you, I think that's great. One other thing you should exclude from Sabbath is worry. Get rid of worry on Sabbath day. Let it go the next day. In other words, don't do your taxes on the Sabbath. Don't do your planning on the Sabbath. Don't do your budgeting on the Sabbath. It's going to cause stress. That's not the day for it. Move it and bump it to the next day. Now, Ruth Haley Barton proposes that the Sabbath is set aside for three things. And the priority, she says, is in the order I'm going to give them to you. The number one priority on Sabbath is to get rest. Number one. So don't feel guilty when you want to sleep in on the Sabbath. Now, some of you are at the 9:30 service. You're going, oh, yeah, good. I get to come to the 5 p.m. service then. I'm sleeping in. Maybe that's what you need to do is sleep in. Don't feel guilty about going home after this service and taking a nap. Because the first order of the day is to replenish your sleep deficit. Second thing on the Sabbath, because first you need to be rested before you get to this. The second thing is, Sabbath is devoted to worship. Remember God's place in your life. Become centered in God. This may involve prayer or scripture or worship or singing or a good Christian book. But find a way to make God center in your life once again, because I would guess over 6 days, it's easy to push God to the margins. And then third, Sabbath is for delight. For joy. What brings you joy? Is it reading a book? Walking? Taking a bike ride? Writing poetry? Playing catch with a grandchild? Going out for a meal with somebody? Tinkering with your car? I mean, the answers are unlimited. Matter of fact, that's why the table is set up the way it is, to give you some ideas. And somebody's probably going to say what? Yes. Some of you are going to say, golf, that replenishes me. Some of you will say, no, that really stresses me out. So it depends on your answer. Do you have any ideas of what replenishes you on your Sabbath? You can blurt them out now. What's that? Sunday school. Listening to my sermon. Thank you, I'll pay you later. Fishing. Anything else?
Listening to the choir.
Listening to the choir. Movies. Music. Listen to the Diamondbacks if they win. But sports could be stressful, right? Depends on the team, right? The story is told of a 19th century explorer in Africa who hired a group of African villagers to carry all the luggage and things that he needed to make his expedition a success. And for 3 days, they made remarkable progress into an unmapped jungle. The fourth morning, they got up, and the explorer was excited with the first 3 days' progress. But on the fourth morning, he noticed that the porters weren't moving at all. He said, "Why aren't you packing up? Why aren't we getting ready to move?" And the porter said, "No, we're staying put. You see, we've traveled way too fast the last 3 days, and we're now going to wait for our souls to catch up to our bodies." It's not a bad thought. Sometimes in the summer, Beth and I like to travel to Sedona for our Sabbath day. We have a place down at Oak Creek. It's a beautiful, gorgeous place. It's a place where the river is a little wider and it moves much slower. And you can actually wade up to about here in the river, and it's like 20, 30 feet across. There are a lot of ducks in that place, and what's nice, there are already extremely comfortable chairs on the beach. It is the place to spend a day. Well, we went there over the July 4th weekend. And we just sat down feeling that we were in the midst of God's creation. We were there to slow down. We didn't have an agenda for the day. We were there just to be and to breathe. But we noticed a rhythm of life at that creek. We noticed there was a mother duck who would walk up on shore, and with her she would bring her little chicks. They were little feathery fuzzballs about this big around. They were very skittish and very shy when they saw us. They would dart up on the shore and peck at some food, and then they would get a little nervous and they would dart back into the water. It was so cute to watch. A couple hours later, we noticed this hawk sail down from on high and land on a rock in the midst of the river. Immediately, one of the ducks there let out a warning cry, and immediately 30 to 40 of these ducks that were scattered in the river immediately left whatever they were doing, and they flew or they swam quickly, and they surrounded that hawk, and they began to harass that hawk because they knew what that hawk was up to. It wanted lunch of a baby duckling. But we watched as they harassed that hawk, and finally it had had too much, and it flew off frustrated and with no meal. If we had had our nose to the grindstone that day, we would have missed this activity in God's creation. But by seeing that act and what was happening in God's creation, we also felt like we were a part of God's creation, that God cared for all of us and created all of us. What happened in that day was that our souls became recentered in God. And frankly, our souls caught up with our bodies. I encourage you to set aside one day this week, one day for Sabbath, to be replenished and refreshed and renewed. Let us pray. Oh God, we give thanks for the gift that you gave us long ago of the idea of rest after work. That we need a Sabbath day off. A day to find ourselves in you. Help us to not be so full of ourselves that we're just about activities and production and tasks. But help us to know that we are created to be who we are. That we don't have to work hard to earn your love, but that you love each one of us with grace and mercy. And we are worthy of your love. So may you refresh us this day. May we go forth from this place committed to be refilled. In Jesus' name, amen.